Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. I'm glad you guys are joining me today because I'm actually taking you back in time. Today we're visiting the American Revolution Museum at Yorktown, where you can see an exhibit called The Forgotten Soldier. It's a very special exhibition, and it's really all about those people who fought in the war that we don't hear about that often. And I'm taking you back in time because what you discover as part of this exhibition are the stories of those people that we don't really know that much about. Now, I had a chance to talk with the exhibit curator, Martha Katz-Hyman, and I asked her if she would tell me a little bit about how they decided to really organize and present all this very informative group of stories, because I can only imagine that there was so much material that they had to work through. And this exhibit falls into the category of what I call learning something about what you thought you already knew. So it's really a great learning experience that even if you think you are an expert on the American Revolution, you're probably going to learn a few things if you have a chance to go to this exhibit. Now, it is taking place until March 22nd of 2020 of this year, so you still have time to plan that trip, go up. It'll be a great one to take the family to because it is so educational. Now, this exhibit also covers not only the first part that she's going to talk about, but it talks also too about what happened or what started to happen after the war was over for these people, especially African-American and Negro soldiers that were fighting. So I asked her a little bit about that, but I also asked her if she would share with us really what was it like for the people who were fighting, both the Negroes and the white soldiers fighting together. What was that like, especially during that time? Because they were all fighting for their independence and for the birth of America, but what was it actually like for them fighting together? And I also asked her about the various names that you will see and find throughout the museum, so she talks about that as well. So I'm going to pause here, and I'm going to play a little bit of my interview with Martha.
We thought and thought about how should we organize this exhibit, because there are certain things we wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. We wanted to talk about citizenship. Who is a citizen? Talk about community, understanding, getting to know people that as black and white are fighting together during the Revolutionary War. And these may have been men who had never laid eyes on an African American, which was possible, especially if you lived in the North. Even though there were enslaved people and free people in the North, it is entirely possible that you had never laid eyes on or really got to know an African American person.
How did they get along, though? Did they get along well with each other?
The few sources that we have indicate that, like with most things, yes and no,
Because if they're fighting as equals, but are they considering themselves equals?
That's a very complicated question, because you could have people who advocated for the abolition of the slave trade, but didn't think that slavery was wrong. And you could have someone who manumitted their enslaved workers because they came to believe that enslavement was wrong, and still not believe that black and white were equal. So it's more complicated than I manumit you and now you're my equal. That in a hierarchical society, it's still not
it's not quite that way.
It's not quite that simple, unfortunately. I think many white soldiers come to have a real appreciation of how valiantly African American soldiers fought. And they fought on both sides. That's the other thing that we're trying to bring out here is that African Americans not only fought on the Patriot side and were crucial to the Patriot victory in 1781 with the victory at Yorktown, which leads to the Treaty of Paris in 1783 that formally ends the war. But they were crucial to that victory because when the war starts in 1775, Washington becomes the commanding general, and he doesn't want even free African Americans in the Continental Army. or even the militias. And he soon comes to realize that there aren't enough people volunteering. Mm-hmm. They start with a draft, you know, quotas for each state of how many men they have to furnish. And they're not filling those quotas. Mm-hmm. And so he relents and he says, okay, we've got to have this extra manpower. Mm-hmm. And he comes to realize by the end of the war how important that is. And many historians, if not most, credit that experience during the war to Washington's decision to manumit all of the enslaved people that he owns, which was about half of the enslaved population at Mount Vernon, at his death. The other half he can't manumit. They are not legally his property. They are the property of Martha through her first marriage to John Custis. So
I do want to ask you a little bit about the names. So the names that are here are just people who you have identified who lived during this time, or are they specific to something that happened?
They are a combination of names of people who fought in the war, like Boston King, Thomas Kearny, Crispus Attucks, Caesar Scipio, and they are people whose names appear in the Book of Negroes and the Inspection Roll of Negroes, which are the books of 3,000, over 3,000 people who were evacuated from New York in 1783 by the British when the final evacuation came from the American continent to go back to England. But these are all real people.
Yeah.
And men and women, because there were women who fought in the war. I mean, they didn't fight, but they went along with the soldiers. Mm-hmm. We use the term camp follower now, which now has a kind of bad mm-hmm. connotation. But women did go with the troops, wives of soldiers, mm-hmm. and to do things like washing laundry, cooking food, exactly domestic tasks.
Fascinating information, but Martha also mentioned the Book of Negroes and the book that's also called The American Inspection of Negroes. And when we come back, I will share my conversation with Martha regarding these two documents and their importance, their really great importance for many formerly enslaved Americans who either fought in the war or were either promised freedom at the end of the war. And she goes into a bit of detail just about those two documents, how important they are, and just really the significance that they still hold today with the stories that they can tell. It's amazing how you can just look at a document like that and get so many stories. So when I come back, I will share that conversation. But now today's show is brought to you by the Sapelo Island Birdhouses, a great place where you can go down on Sapelo Island, part of the what I call the jewel islands of the Georgia coast. You can go right off there, have a great stay in one of the birdhouses, kick back, relax, have a good time. And you know, one of the other things, too, about going to Sapelo, I'll tell you guys, is that when you talk about, I'm talking about a little bit about African-American culture, on Sapelo, you have the chance to interact, go on a tour of the Gullah Geechee culture and the people who live on the island. And many of them are the ninth generation still living on their ancestral land. And they're the people that were enslaved on the plantations that were there. They grew cotton and they, some cases, grew a little bit of sugarcane, a little bit of rice. But you have a chance to actually interact with some of the descendants of those people, hear some of their stories as well. It kind of still ties in a little bit with what we're talking about here on the show today, talking about the Revolutionary War, because soldiers were sent up to fight from all areas of the 13 colonies. So when we come back, we're going to jump right in talking about the Book of Negroes and the Book of American Inspection of Negroes. Back in a moment here on Travel Bags with Anita and Friends.